2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
This is Cougar Sports Saturday. Cougar Sports Saturday.
A presentation of KSL Sports.
Got it for three! Cougars by 20!
Every Saturday, all year long. BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans.
For Cougar fans.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
Here are your hosts,
Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On your legacy home of BYU Sports.
KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. It's a bye weekend for the BYU football team, but game day for BYU Hoops. The Cougars are going to take on Utah Valley tonight in the Crosstown Clash at the Marriott Center. No fans can be in attendance. It's going to be family and friends of the team, and they'll be in attendance. And one of the men that will be courtside to call the action tonight on the BYU Sports Network, which you can hear on KSL News Radio beginning at 7 o'clock, is Mark Duran. He joins us now here on the program. Mark, welcome on into Cougar Sports Saturday.
Fellas, always a pleasure to be with you, and I tell you what, I'm lucky to be going to that game when I know a lot of people want to be, and so I feel pretty fortunate, but it's fun, you know, it's pretty different, but they've done a good job with it, and it's fun to see the guys playing. I'm glad we're watching basketball, man. At this point, I'm just happy to be hooping it up.
Yeah, the vibe at the Marriott Center has been, you know, a little bit better than expected. I thought it was just going to be just completely silent at the games. But, you know, David Almodova and the marketing team, they've done a great job with piecing together the Marriott Center to still try to feel as close to normal as possible. We look forward to the call tonight with you and Greg Rubel. We'll talk some BYU basketball here momentarily, but I do want to get your thoughts, Mark, because BYU football's college football playoff ranking has been a point of discussion today, and you covering BYU basketball for as long as you have, you know that selection committees in BYU is just never a good thing, it feels like. Is this just another example of BYU being done wrong by a selection committee?
Hey, listen, you don't have – just go back to Palmyra, and you'll see the treatment we've had over the years. No, I don't want – I mean, all I knew as a player in doing this for 25 years on the radio with basketball, I always knew whatever seed I thought BYU should get in the NCAA tournament, add three. Because that's
three?
Just the way it is. And if I thought we were a seven seed in the tournament, we're going to get a 10. A 10, we're going to get a – I mean – That's pretty much what it was for this football as well. I mean, I thought, you know, 10-11 would have been reasonable, and 14 was just a worst-case scenario. So, I mean, it held true for me with this as well. And maybe we're all just BYU homers and we just don't get it. But I think that – I know I am. But I think the reaction nationally with most pundits and things like that kind of proved that the committee was off base a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, what do I know? But it just seems there's an overall history of inequity there, and Ute fans can say, we didn't play anybody, or Pac-12 can say, we gave you a chance and you didn't take it. How dare you disrespect us by not agreeing to maybe play us? And anyway, but listen, that's just a good motivation. And no, you're not going to get anything handed to you, and you go out and they're going to have maybe one or two more opportunities to play here, and let's go out and show them what we deserve, and show them who we are. And that's all you can do as a player, and try and put yourself in the best situation. Anyway, that's a long rambling answer, but yeah, I think it's unfair. Yeah. Is it going to change? No. Let's just go out and play the guys that we have in front of us and play as good as we can and see what happens.
Mark Durant is our guest. He'll be on the call with Greg Wrubell tonight here on KSL News Radio. BYU and UVU taking place in the Marriott Center. BYU's 2-0 right now. And I go back to that Westminster game. Colby Lee really stuck out to me in that game. I think he was a forgotten man, because Matt Harms, a lot of hype there, and Gavin Baxter and Big Rich coming in. And then Colby Lee did his thing. What are your thoughts on Colby Lee and the big man rotation so far through two games?
Man, I love me some Colby Lee. What great progress Colby Lee has made over the years. And he came in last year. Yoeli Childs gets suspended. Again, some unfair treatment there. But so you just need someone to fill that spot a little bit to try and survive until Yoeli gets back. And big Colby out of Idaho, I can just picture him, walking around with giant bags of potatoes on his shoulders, getting strong as a boy, I mean, that's the image I have of him in my mind. And he comes to BYU, and he just gets better every game, and he's tough, and he makes all the shots and develops a little niche for himself on how he can help offensively. And he's a big body, and he works hard, and he's just a great kid. And now he's become a real threat. I mean, that jump hook, you watch him. He'll get it in the post, and he's so smart. He's patient. He'll put up a couple dribbles on the floor, and then he'll use that big potato body to clear some space so he can go up with a jump hook, because he's not going to go dunk it, is he? he's not going to be dunking it anytime soon. But he clears space, soft little jumper, and he's got a quick little shot when guards dribble penetrate and his man comes off to help. His hands are ready. He gets it. He flips it up there really quickly. He is a terrific postman. And you add him with all the other guys at the post, BYU's got some real talent and depth at that position. And with him, you've got some really good experience. So I love me some Colby Lee. He's a great player and has made the most of his opportunities at BYU.
You mentioned talent and depth, Mark, and that has been something that has stood out through these two games. And I know it's just Westminster and New Orleans, but, man, Mark Pope's got a nice problem on his hand with the amount of depth and talent he has. I mean, even in that second game against the Privateers, I'm thinking, we haven't seen Gideon George yet. We haven't seen Hunter Erickson yet, but they've still already played 10 guys. It's tough to kind of form a rotation. How do you think Pope is going to try to navigate this and find that kind of 8-9-man rotation that ideally you're probably going to have? I mean, because there's just so many bodies and quality bodies in this roster.
Yeah, it's really great. I mean, I've been around basketball at BYU since late 70s, and I've never seen this kind of depth. And what I mean by depth is that you have guys that you might say are your 11th, 12th, 13th guy that can come in, and you're not going to have much of a drop-off. And a lot of teams, you get past eight, and if you're lucky, you've got eight guys that can contribute and play solid and not have a huge drop-off. But BYU can go that deep, and you mentioned those guys like Gideon George and Spencer Johnson and Hunter, and it's going to be hard to find a lot of minutes for those guys, but they're certainly capable. And when I played, sometimes we'd get up 20 or 30, and you'd sit on the bench there the last 5 minutes, and It was an interesting proposition for you, but when you'd have the last five guys on the floor now for BYU, they're still a pretty good basketball team. And they're not quite Gonzaga, where you've got maybe two starting fives that are top 20 teams, but they're pretty good. And like I mentioned, particularly with the postman, you've got six guys, hopefully six guys that can really play. And when you have that size and length at the post, you're going to be difficult to deal with anywhere you go. So, yeah, I mean, that it's going to be a problem for Coach Pope to maybe kind of manage that. It's okay when you're winning, because who can complain really when you're winning? But if they maybe drop a couple, some guys might think, well, I deserve some more time, and that'll be an interesting problem to manage for Coach Pope, but a wonderful problem.
Mark Durant is our guest here for a few more moments on Cougar Sports Saturday. Who's a guy or two? I know we talked about Colby Lee, but maybe outside of Colby Lee, who's a guy that's surprised you with his play through the first two games?
Well, I love Brandon Averett. I mean, to have a guy come in right off the bat, be that experienced, that capable. He's a great backcourt tandem for Alex Barcelo. You know, you need to have the game's about three-point shooting. You need to have three-point shooters. You need to have guys that can create their shot off the dribble. He and Alex are tremendous at that. I mentioned Spencer Johnson. He's really smooth, nice little player. Caleb Lohner is a force, man. I mean, when I was a freshman in college, I used to dream about having his shoulders and arms like that dude. I mean, he is Karl Malone Jr. He runs the floor well, very active. But I guess one of the guys I'm most impressed with is so far is Rich Harward. He is so big, and the way he's able to move that body, and how aggressive he plays, and he plays with such passion and joy and ferocity, and getting those offensive rebounds. I mean, I just love guys like that that just get after it and play as hard as I think guys should play. And I think he's going to be just a tremendous player at BYU. And so it's just two games in, but he's someone that's really jumped out at me as someone that I just love watching him play and the way he plays.
It's early in the season, Mark, but it feels like kind of tonight is where things start to ramp up for this team. I mean, in-state games are always tricky. I know Utah Valley is not on paper expected to be much this year, but year two of Mark Madsen, they should make some improvements as a program. And again, in-state, there's going to be emotion to these games, but this schedule really ramps up with tonight and then Tuesday against USC and potentially UConn, Vanderbilt. This is going to be a huge week, it feels like, for this team to really start to form who they're going to be this year. How do you see that playing out over the next week?
Yeah, I mean, I like how it's ramping up. You start with Westminster and then a better team in New Orleans and now probably a better team with UVU. Mark Madsen does a nice job there. And I know that Coach Pope takes this game extremely seriously, and it's an in-state game, and it's going to be a lot of excitement and a lot of history between both programs and coaches and stuff. So that'll be more fun. And then you go next week and you got some real size and athleticism that you haven't seen yet. And that'll be a real challenge. And it's a challenge just to get there. And I'm sitting in a hospital parking lot right now taking a COVID test. Hopefully I test negative and can go. And that's the way it is with all the players and the coaches and the staff. You just kind of hope that things happen. And if they do, that's you take that opportunity and you play them. But I think this team is really good. And they've got some, I think, some issues with defensive chemistry and just playing in so many different lineups and knowing each other and playing the right way that coach wants them to play, because you brought in so many guys and lost a lot of leadership. It's going to take some time to kind of figure all that out. But I like BYU's chances against anybody. Bring it on. Like Zach Wilson says, any team, anytime, any place. Bring it on. We'll show you what we got. You show us what we got. And one of the things I like about not having fans, even though I think it's awful, is you get these situations where it's just two teams playing each other. It's not about the fans. It's who is the better team. And so I'm excited about the weeks to come for BYU basketball.
Last thing for you, Mark, and we hope that test comes back negative. We got to have you on the call.
Listen, Greg Rubel needs me about as much as a turkey needs Thanksgiving. You know, he's just fine without me. And as long as everybody pray for Greg to test negative. But if I can go, I'll be there. But if not, they'll be just fine.
Last thing, have you heard anything about Gavin Baxter and Matt Harms?
No, I haven't. I don't know anything. I think Matt will probably play tonight. I think that if he can possibly go, it'd be good to give him some minutes before next week. And I'm excited to see him play because I just heard such amazing things about Matt, and I'm excited to just see him. But I haven't heard about Gavin. I'm sure we'll find out as I get to the gym tonight what it's going to be. But, man, I hope it's positive news and it's nothing season-ending. Those are the words I just never, ever want to hear again. And I love Gavin Baxter. I mean, what a great story. And he fought back from this last injury. And it would just absolutely break my heart because I know it would break his heart. And he just looked so good early, so confident, so the movement is so good. So I'm just hoping and praying that everything is going to be okay for Gavin.
He's BYU Sports Network analyst Mark Durant. You can hear him on the call tonight, BYU Utah Valley, 7 o'clock tip, pregame at 6 here on KSL News Radio. Mark, always appreciate the time, man.
You guys are the best. Anytime for you two.
All right.
Thanks, Mark. Yeah. We appreciate that.
Mark is the man. Yeah. Big fan, Mark. Hopefully the test comes back negative. We'll get to a break here. on Cougar Sports Saturday, as we let Mark take a COVID-19 test, him and Greg, well wishes and prayers for them. And we'll continue talking BYU basketball on the other side.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.